was.
Okay. So, because we cut off and I have no idea what we were talking about.
I was wondering if the spectacle and the notion of spectacular language was perhaps allied to the fact that experience is perhaps spectacular in and of itself. But I had a very practical question as just another writer.
Yeah.
What are the characteristics of spectacular language?
Or the spectacle, perhaps, in general. It's funny because I think this is going to push at the idea of like what is language to a poem.
I mean, not
just spectacular, but like,
so that perhaps I can distinguish.
Right. Like, okay, what if a poem is language and what if the language is spectacular, right? Like, so I could equally ask you the question of the poem, what if the language is ecstatic? Or of the poem, sure. What if the you know what I'm saying?
Which probably we should be able to answer somehow.
Well, no, maybe not. Like, I believe that the inability to answer questions, but the ability to persevere is actually a good thing. Like, to be honest, like that might be a good thing. So I don't think what I think is in terms of spectacular, I think of it only as not being tethered to this idea that I must be accurate to the prosaic details of the truth, because truth isn't in the prosaic details many times. It's in the it's in other things, right? So, one of the things that I think you brought up early and we kind of got away from is the idea of, like, the spectacle in terms of what it's meant kind of historically, and why I would say, oh, I want to reclaim spectacle as something positive, right? Because the way we've been talking about it, you might think about it and you'd be like, what do you mean reclaim? Like, you've been talking about spectacle as if this is a completely positive thing. And I think what we need to kind of acknowledge is that there has been this idea of spectacle of a very negative sense. Mm-hmm. So, we've got spectacle going on as, like, these plays, these things. And then we get to, like, the situationist. We get to these people like Dubourg, like Guy Dubourg, who's, like, the situationist. And they tie spectacle inexorably to capitalism. Mm-hmm. And they say, spectacle is this thing that, capitalism creates around products. Mm-hmm. So that spectacle is a big puff almost of nothingness that
as the speculation.
Right. Which is created to sell products or is created to
houses.
Fuel the advertising industry or mm-hmm. is created in this capitalistic way. And we didn't mention this before, but this is one of the things that I'm very interested in and that I'm very interested in kind of pushing against.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like, Nathan, that you want to talk about this in some way. I want to
see if I can connect some things.
Or if I'm with you. Yes, absolutely.
And I want to kind of link this back to, just to continue or to kind of like believe these things. Yeah. Aaron's discussion of the sleeper, which I know we've been kind of like talking about, not on this recording, but during the day today.
Right, yeah.
It seems in some ways that what you're calling to is this idea that we need to wake up to the fact that truth is dynamic, mm-hmm. right? That truth is a process, not a product,
right? Absolutely.
And the spectacle is a part of this realization,
right?
That the truth is like a dynamism, right?
Yes. Or
like, again, to go back to this idea of a parade that we watch while we participate, you know, or that we see from inside the parade.
Yeah, I feel like you're reading the way that I want to use spectacle. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Absolutely. But what I think is that it has been used, and more specifically, in contemporary times as almost the opposite of that, which is this idea that spectacle is almost like
a
lulling thing.
Right.
That is almost like an opiate.
Yeah.
So spectacle replaces actual reality. Mm-hmm. So spectacle becomes the reality that we don't really experience, but we participate in.
In some ways, this hinges to me, and mm-hmm. I know I had to step out for a second, but and I think Kirsten actually covered mm-hmm. this covered this base mm-hmm. that I was worried about,
mm-hmm.
which was thinking about the definition of surrealism itself, right?
Yes.
And you kept saying this new surrealism, and I know Kirsten said, "Well, it's or at least I heard I thought I heard you define surrealism like according to like original definition of like the super real, right?
Yeah.
So there's something like the difference between like the super real, mm-hmm. right, which is mm-hmm. tethered to reality as a process, right, versus like dreamy hoo-hash or something.
Yeah. You know? Well, and
dreamy hoo-hash.
And it's difficult.
We can be more specific.
We obviously, like, to me at least, we can't equate surrealism to spectacle, you know, for example. Like, I do not equate those two things. I think it's astute to bring them both up at the same time. Because I think that, it's funny, but I think that, like, this kind of new surrealistic push
mm-hmm.
Implicates spectacle in a different...
It doesn't mean...
Negatively, right?
Yeah.
Not the way that you mean. That's
right. Not in the way that I mean, but
that's
in a different way.
As a lesson.
And that's why I think it's very natural to bring it up. I wouldn't have naturally,
right.
Like, when I'm thinking, like, about spectacle, yeah. I wouldn't have naturally thought, I should also talk about what is happening with a lot of contemporary mm-hmm. poetry, which is certainly this kind of new surrealism, or I think they most people refer to it as that, but this kind of I'm going to
it's
bring
rhetorical.
Up these kind of no, it's not even rhetorical. It's like I'm going to bring up these fantastical things, and whereas I think of surrealism as a kind of letting go of control and letting the unconscious take over, I think of what people call new surrealism as much more conscious than that. And that's why I just implicitly reject some of it, because I feel that it's not this letting go of control and letting the unconscious drive. I feel like a lot of it is a very conscious calculation of what will appear to be mm-hmm. a strangeness
dreamy
or a rupture, right, or a rupture from reality. But I don't feel in many of these cases that it is a unconscious drive. I feel it's a very conscious drive of like, this seems like a rupture from reality.
That's what I mean by rhetoric. I just mean intentionality,
right,
as opposed to revelation.
Absolutely.
But I know Kirsten pointed to your chapbook earlier, but like this is something that really strikes me about your chapbook, and I know that.
Right.
I guess in some ways, maybe I'm going to return to mm-hmm. just your chapbook as an example, but your chapbook is deeply strange and unsettling, and gorgeous and totally
ways.
Gorgeous,
right,
like
right.
convulsively beautiful. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there's also something that is a very powerful book, because there's always something at stake in that. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous to read that book, and it feels like it's a dangerous place to live,
right?
You know, and I mean, that makes all the difference to me.
Which
something is at stake,
right.
and I can tell in every line of those poems.
Which is
spectacular
as opposed to ironic.
I feel like
is an amazing.
One of the ways that I, and probably many people, kind of assess what's going on when they're reading certain writing that's in a way fantastic. So, for example, you mentioned the chapbook. Like, it certainly deals with things that are not the diverge from reality in a sense.
Sorry, ABC.
Right. Like, it diverges from reality in a sense that's like, yes, certainly this stretches things and it performs things and it does things that it certainly, like, if we want to talk about the spectacle, like, it makes a spectacle of certain things. But I think what I hope happens when you read it is that you feel like the spectacle is a result of a raw emotional energy that can't be expressed in a normal way. And that it has to kind of deviate into a performance of sorts that is a very authentic performance, but nonetheless a performance. Because if you cannot perform it, you will not survive it. So maybe I've not thought about this, but I'm suddenly feeling like I'm thinking about spectacle in a way that, even though I knew I was going to come here and talk about spectacle, I hadn't thought about this.
In some ways, it seems like you're starting to call to a wider definition of reality,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Itself, like,
right.
Like,
I had not thought of this.
But,
this,
I mean, this
is
really
not part of what I wanted to say.
Because back
yeah,
back,
like,
well,
oh
me,
no.
Okay, so because I've been taking some
right.
notes, and
right.
you said at one point,
yeah,
a spectacle is, and I think this is my word, an amplification or something that gives insight into reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I mean, finally, what it seems to be saying is
yeah.
that, like, reality itself is, you know, dynamic
right.
as spectacle, and that
right.
and that a spectacle just helps us see that, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, it
or
just helps
actually
know.
Participate in reality in a more real way.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Right.
Like, and so you're talking about, like, emotional resonances,
right? Absolutely. And,
or emotional, like, emotional
yeah.
truth or something,
yeah.
right?
And
or the fact that,
yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. No. I just, like, the only thing I want to say is that I'm grateful to this conversation because I did not come to the conversation prepared to say that, but I go away from the conversation prepared to absolutely accept that.
Sure.
So.
So the reality we started within the conversation has become
right,
kind of rhetoric,
right.
which you're
well absolutely.
Apart from.
Absolutely. But what I do want to say, like, which is what I started to say, which I think, and the only reason I return to it is that when you bring up the word spectacle, for many people, you cannot circumvent certain things like the Situationist and like Guy Debord, who, as we sort of brushed on, think of spectacle as a very capitalistic,
it's marketing.
Like a very marketing, yeah, marketing-based thing, or like that a spectacle feeds you reality in a consumeristic way that doesn't have authenticity and that is designed to persuade you to buy, or
mm-hmm.
is designed to persuade you to, like, whether the buying is a consumer product, whether the buying is an ideology, that the spectacle is this thing that's designed to convince you to that. And what I really want to push against is the fact that the spectacle, like, a spectacle can be almost the opposite of that. Like, I want to push the idea of spectacle, and I want to push people to participate in spectacle in a way that is actually absolutely the opposite of that, which is that spectacle is a way of truth-telling that the prosaic cannot approach, that spectacle is a way of participating in a community in a way of truth-telling that you could not. So I think it's important to address these ideas of spectacle that have come before, because I believe that most people, they hear the words spectacle, particularly in the context of writing or literature, they're going to think
it sounds,
society of the spectacle.
It sounds
suspectical. It's the situational, you know. And I certainly actually understand that thinking. Like, I certainly reject this sort of, I guess you would say, part of capitalism that is very spectacular, or, you know, like, this idea of spectacle as creating a moment to explode a potential for buying or, you know, consuming. And I understand that it's there and I see it all the time. But what I want is to take it back. I want to take it back into a method that is exciting, dynamic, engages the community, engages an audience, that engages the idea of performance, because I don't think performance has to be a bad thing, and I think that it has become a bad thing, and makes those things truth-telling rather than this kind forgery. Of yeah, forgery or idea of you know, false rhetoric or falsity of, like, you know, you must buy or you must consume or you must agree, you know. So that's why I'm very interested in, so for example, I'm very interested in thinking of the confessionals and trying to pick apart what they're saying. And I think some of what they're saying participates in what I want to reclaim from the personal spectacle, and some maybe doesn't. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in trying to reclaim some of it. Mm-hmm. So, can there be a spectacle of one? And if there is, what's the value in a spectacle mm-hmm. of one? So these are obviously questions. Like, mm-hmm. I obviously don't have an idea set in stone of what I think, but
it's interesting.
But that's my goal. Like, mm-hmm. let's reclaim the spectacle. Can there be a what's the minimum requirement for a spectacle? Like I think I started out with this in the beginning, but certain things that I'm interested around spectacle. One, community.
Mm-hmm.
How many, like, what's the requisite for a spectacle and who has to participate?
Mm-hmm.
And two, like, what's the truth telling, or, you know, like, what's truth telling
mm-hmm.
in regard to that? You know, all, different, just very different things that I think about that. And I've always been very drawn to the spectacles, but in writing, I think it takes on a different face, and so I'm still trying to discover, I think, what I think perhaps might be the most positive kind of way to incorporate spectacle.
It's good. I think the recognition of spectacle as opposed to, like, an elaborate manufacture of, like, falsity, to be, you know, something more akin to, like, a revelation, like, a way of seeing through. What's fascinating to me about this conversation is the way that spectacle is being kind of set up as a means of seeing through the bullshit spectacle.
Well, the thing is, like a spectacle certainly is bullshit, but can we have another?
I love this, though. The recuperation.
You know what I mean? Like, there certainly is that. It certainly can be that.
No, I'm saying I love the recuperation. Right.
It seems to
like
me
like I just want to get it back. Like, can we? You know, can we? I don't know. That's a question
what
for me
what
still.
We
and
no,
what
I'm,
were you
I'm
gonna?
Fine. I'm
no,
fine.
No,
it's
no.
Okay. Oh, I was just saying. It seems to me that the collapse of, quote, like, objective distance or something, mm-hmm. actually, you know, reclaims the spectacle mm-hmm. as a part of reality underway. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Or I think of Emerson's essay Experience,
absolutely.
Right? We're lost within a dream, within a dream, within a dream.
Yeah. Right.
They dream themselves. They dream themselves.
Right. And we need somebody with a wet bat to smack them.
Slap them
right.
with a wet bat.
Well, because
and
I think that...
the dreamers.
To smack us with a wet bat.
Yeah. But I think that there's this implicit idea. You hear the word spectacle and the implicit idea
right.
is
right.
it's false. it's creating a false, it's creating this false scenario that you can momentarily or for how long it lasts be involved with, and I don't think that that's what it has to mean. I think that it can mean it's a creation, certainly it's a decoration, it's an aggrand, you know, it's making it aggrandated, like it's a way in which we can decorate reality in a way that's more real than reality.
It's like we imagine an outside when we're already outside.
Yes, but how do we communicate that to other people? That's where the spectacle comes in, right? Because what you just described is exactly what I mean. But what if you need to communicate that to another or 100 others? Do you see what I mean? Like, you can't necessarily do that. Like, to me, I am very tied to metaphor because I don't think of metaphor as a distancing of reality.
It's not a metaphor if it's true.
Well, I think of it as a revelation, right? So if you present a
right, you can't compare things
if they're not already connected. It's a revelation, not a synthesis.
Any comparison is a revelation because
it's already real. Absolutely, it's already there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you could but to go to Marion Moore, right?
Yeah.
Comparing an octopus and a mountain are incomparable, right? So you make something new. Octopus made of ice, right? Or an octopus of ice, right? That's a revelation, right?
Right.
What the fuck is that? Who knows?
Yeah. Right?
But
we don't even have a way to tell
about
that. But
you just revealed something.
Right, absolutely. Right.
You
right.
didn't.
Right,
you
I didn't.
You didn't force it.
Wait, didn't
you? You revealed a deep-seated connection that was already there that most people don't see.
He's saying it's a new statement of an already underway reality.
Well,
right?
That's what I'm saying, too. That's what we're saying. So the reason spectacle appeals to me the same way that metaphor appeals to me, because metaphor doesn't appeal to me in the way that some people think of metaphor, which is, oh, I'm gonna make up something, you know, like
fancy.
To me,
it doesn't sharpen, like comparing a mountain to an octopus doesn't make me understand mountain any better.
Exactly.
Right? It doesn't help me understand an octopus or a mountain any better. I end up with this fucking weird octopus made of ice that I don't know what to do with.
Right.
And yet,
right?
But and that's a revelation.
But a relevant
revelation also means
where you lost is in the forest.
But all I'm saying is a relevant metaphor is a revelation. And in some ways, I see a metaphor as a tautology. Like A equals A. But I don't see a tautology as a reduction. I see it as a revelation.
Right, an amplification.
Right? Yes, absolutely. And I see spectacle in the same way. It's a different way. It's a way of metaphorizing experience in a way that...
doesn't obscure it.
That reveals. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? So spectacle can be like a metaphor in its revelation... in its non-literal revelation of truth, so it presents something in a non-literal but truthful way that allows you to experience it in a way that you couldn't have experienced it, but nonetheless is true.
I think that's an incredible thing to say. I think that's a really articulate way to put that.
That's what I mean. Does that make sense?
I actually think that's maybe where we need to stop.
It makes sense to me, but I'm not sure that it makes sense to other people.
Yeah.
No, I think that's
we can also continue this over brunch.
Yeah. Well, you guys can. Okay. I have to go to the next
tragedy.